We began this season of celebration with Thanksgiving, which really gives us an opportunity to stop and think about what we are thankful for, those things which are often not physical things in each of our lives that are so valuable and important to us, our relationship with God and with each other. And it's also a chance to look back at the life lessons in this past year and to look back to see what we have learned and to be grateful. As we move through the holiday season, it's such a busy time and it's full of different emotions for each one of us. And we often wish we could just slow down a little bit and enjoy the season, that season of Jesus' birth. And that slowing down a little bit offers a chance for a rest to our souls. And with a brand new year always comes changes. And we can count on our Jesus as we move forward in this new year to walk with us, to lead us, and to guide us as a body. The privilege of each one of us being yoked up with Jesus makes this life easier. I want to begin in Matthew, the 11th chapter, starting in verse 28. And the title of my message tonight is Take My Yoke Upon You. Again, in Matthew, the 11th chapter, I'm going to read just verses 28 through 30. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. When we make that choice to be yoked up to Jesus, we understand that it's a working relationship. It's an opportunity for the on-the-job training. It's an opportunity to learn from Jesus as we deal with whatever burdens we have in life. He tells us, I am meek and lowly in heart. Learning to be meek and lowly in heart will always be an ongoing process for each one of us. But as long as we stay yoked up with him, we'll be moving toward that goal of being meek and lowly in heart. I love the simple words, and I will give you rest unto your souls. This rest here is to refresh, not to sleep, but a refreshing unto our souls. We all have limits, physical, emotional, and spiritual, all of us. Each one of us at some time need rest unto our souls at different times in our lives. That need to rest unto our souls is not a sign of spiritual weakness. It's a sign we're human, and Jesus understood that. It's a wonderful invitation from Jesus. He's offering rest unto our souls whenever and wherever we need it. Sometimes we can push right past that, make ourselves keep pushing. But if we do that all the time, we miss the very first lesson he desires to teach us, to be meek and lowly in heart. To be meek and lowly in heart is to realize that we need help, his help. Can't deal with all these burdens alone. We don't have to deal with these burdens alone. That time of refreshing our soul is a time spent with Jesus. There's a lot to learn while we're yoked up to him. He finishes with, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And that we know because he bears most of the weight in that yoke. It takes meekness and humility and faith to walk yoked up to Jesus all the time. We sometimes want to go faster or slower, or maybe even in another direction. We can even lose our focus. But to be truly yoked up is to allow him to lead. He sets the focus, he sets the direction, and he sets the pace. In order to learn from him, we need to be yoked up to him. I want to start in the Old Testament in the book of Psalms. In the 18th Psalm, Old Testament, Psalms 18, I'm going to read verses 1 through 2. Psalms 18, 1 through 2. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. My strength. This word strength here in verse 1 means help. The Lord is my help. And that is so true for everything in our lives. We can look to our past and see where he has been our help. And that gives us confidence to look to the future and know he'll be our help when and how we need it. Verse 2 has so many descriptive words that David uses here to describe our God, our Savior. The Lord is my rock. He's that stronghold. He's that foundation. It is God and his word that are the foundation of our lives. My fortress, a place of safety. And he certainly is a place of safety for each one of us. A safe place to find rest unto your souls when needed. My deliverer, one who makes a way of escape when necessary. And again, a little rest for our souls when needed. To escape the turmoil and the stress and the challenges of life, rest for our souls brings us strength to keep going on. David calls him my God. And that truly covers everything. My God, the one who controls my life. He says, my strength. This word strength here is a little different from the one used in verse 1. This strength here means power. Power to deal with what comes into our lives. My buckler or shield, a protector during battle. We fight battles every day, some big, some small, and everything in between, and we always need a protector in that battle. That shield protects. It gives us a little time to stop and consider our next move. We have control where we move that buckler. We can move it wherever it's needed to be to get that little bit of protection that we need to know what to do next. He is a horn of salvation. That horn of salvation from which he pours forth salvation and grace for all and any that desire. He is our salvation. Through him, we have the promise of eternal life. And it's a good thing to keep our heavenly home in sight, because this one here on earth can just about wear us out if we don't keep our focus where it needs to be. My high tower. I've talked often of this one, and I so love this description of God. My high tower. That place of safety that lifts me up above this old world and all its weights. In that high tower, I have the safety, and I have the time and the ability to look back and see what and where and how God has brought me from. That time not only increases my faith in God, but my love for God. I see his goodness and mercy in my life. I see the lessons he needed me to learn. The lessons he needed me to learn. To stand when I needed to stand, bend when I needed to bend, speak when I needed to speak, or keep quiet when I needed to keep quiet. Those lessons form us, and they make us the people of God we are today. I don't want to ever forget what he has taught me, And I always want to work to put those lessons to use in my daily life, because there's more lessons to come. That high tower gives us an opportunity also to look forward. We know there will be more mountaintops and more valleys and everything in between. We certainly don't have the details looking forward that we have looking back, but that's okay. That's faith. And when we stay yoked up, we're less afraid of what the future may bring. I want to stay in the book of Psalms and go to the 119th Psalm. Psalms 119. Psalms 119, I'm going to start in verse 1. I'll actually read verses 1 through 8. Again, Psalms, the 119th Psalm, verses 1 through 8. Blessed are the undefiled, that word means blameless, in the way, God's way, who walk in the law of the Lord. That law of the Lord is love. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. Blessed are they that keep God's testimonies. What are God's testimonies? We testify about them all the time. We thank him for his goodness, his mercy, his grace. That is what God testifies to us. It's what he lives before us. It's the way that he deals with us. We, in turn, keep his testimonies by living them daily, by treating others with his goodness, his mercy, and his grace. And blessed are they that keep them with their whole heart. We must seek him with our whole heart in order to live that way, graceful, merciful, and full of goodness for others. Picking up in verse 3, they also do no iniquity, they walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. This is a way of life for us. Oh, that my ways were directed or focused to keep thy statutes. Then I shall not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. And for us, that's just two commandments, to love God first and then to love one another the way he loves us. The first one is easy. It's the second one, loving one another, that we have to work at daily. In verse 7, I will praise thee with uprightness of my heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. When I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. We will always be learning and working to apply God's ways to our lives, his righteous judgments. That is what gives us the privilege to come into his presence and praise him with uprightness of our heart. Verse 8, I will keep thy statutes, O forsake me not utterly. He will never forsake us or anyone who seeks to walk this way before God. And we as a body of believers seek to walk in his ways. And we understand it takes each one of us walking in unity with God. Then we learn to walk in unity as a body with God. We are a family jointly fit together for his purpose. We are a working body. Think just for a minute about what you wrote on your paper at watch night. For us, they're like resolutions. It's a firm decision to do or to not do something. It is changes we desire in our life, because those changes will bring us in a closer walk with God and a deeper understanding of God. Each one of us will have written something different because we're all different. We're individuals facing different challenges and problems and carrying different burdens. Keep in your mind what you wrote that night. If you don't make a conscious effort to keep it in your mind, you won't be able to fulfill those promises. And for most of us, we had in our mind what we wanted to do in this coming year for God before we came to that service. I said before in the adult Sunday school class that I often wish I could go back and see what I wrote on my past 42 years in God. If I could go back to that time as a young woman and go back and read those papers again, I'm sure each year would have had some different things as changes in my life occurred. But I have a feeling I probably would have had a fair amount of repetition on those papers. I Googled a question. What percentage of people keep their New Year's resolutions? And Forbes did a study, and here is what I found, and I quote their study. Studies have shown that less than 25% of people actually stay committed to their resolutions just after 30 days, and only 8% accomplish them. I know we're all above average. That's certainly not us, right? Unfortunately, it's probably pretty accurate. One thing that is often on a person's list for resolutions is often we make a resolution to exercise more or eat more healthy. We see gym memberships spike in attendance in January, and by February, they're right back where they were before. And for me, I could almost bet that if I could go back and look at my past, 41 papers that I wrote, I bet every one of them had pray more and study more. I bet every one of them did. I bet every one of them did. I appreciated what Paul brought out on Sunday when he spoke of making time to read the Bible. It's something that we'll benefit from, and we certainly all desire to do that. But making it a daily habit is challenging. But like anything else, start where it works for you. Setting aside time in the morning or in the afternoon or in the evening, whatever works for you. Stick with it. See if you can make it last 30 days. And you know what? If you mess up or life throws you a curveball, start again. God is a God of fresh starts when we need a fresh start. Look to Him for help in everything, including making good spiritual habits. I want to read in the New Testament in the book of Hebrews. In the book of Hebrews, in the 13th chapter, we're going to read just verses 5 and 6. New Testament book of Hebrews, chapter 13, reading verses 5 through 6. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. In verse 5, this word conversation here means conduct, your behavior. Let your conduct be without covetousness, to be content with what we have, with what God has given us. That's not just natural things, but that includes our spiritual gifts and our talents and our abilities. He promises to never leave us or forsake us, but instead he desires to be yoked together with us, teaching us and training us all along the way on how to use those gifts, those talents, those abilities, those blessings that he gives us in the natural, the way that he sees fit. Verse 6 makes me think of the one song our young people sang on watch night, which was such a highlight of that service. Help is on the way. And it sure is. We're yoked to our helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. My life is not controlled by natural things or people around me. When we are yoked together with him, allowing Jesus to set the direction, the focus, and the pace, he is the one in control. We can trust him to help us deal with whatever things come into our lives. Stay yoked up, and we'll learn from him. It takes a continual and a conscious effort on our part to walk yoked up to Jesus. Staying in the New Testament, go to 1 Peter. In 1 Peter chapter 5. I'm going to read verses 6 through 10. Again, 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 10. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Going back to verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. We understand that, to humble ourselves under that mighty hand of God, to learn to be meek and lowly in heart, to allow him to be the one in control, to stay yoked up together with him. And he will exalt us when this life is all over and we're with him in glory. Casting your care upon him, for he careth for you. That's just another way of saying, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. We can yoke up to someone who can bear the heavier weights of our lives. To be sober is to be clear-minded. Vigilant is to be watchful, aware of what is going on around you, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Stand firm. Stay yoked up, and you will learn how to resist the devil and stand firm. Always remember, our fight is not with flesh and blood. We learn how to do battle yoked up to Jesus. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Everyone faces challenges in life. Everyone does. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect. There's a reason for what we go through. Establish, confirm, strengthen, settle you, firm up your foundation. As we have read these scriptures tonight and we look towards the new year, we understand that we cannot do anything without a good foundation of prayer. Prayer keeps us content in being yoked up with Jesus. Prayer helps us to understand the why and the what for of what we must deal with in our daily life. Prayer is the fuel that powers us in this walk. I remember very clearly when Alice asked us as a church to try to pray daily for this church. And it's something I have to be honest with you and tell you I haven't mastered that yet. I work on it, I fall off, I get back up, I start again. But like each one of us, we understand the importance of what she said. Pray for the church daily doesn't mean just praying for this one entity that we call the church. But taking time to pray for the church is taking time to pray for the individuals who are the church. That's me. That's our pastor. That's you. It's young James as he goes back to the army. It's Diane and Mark as they're traveling. It's Courtney when she goes back to school. It is each and every one of us, those listening online, those who are receiving the CDs of our services, and those who are working away. Really stop and think what our church would be like if this was something we really could master. That type of prayer, one for another. The ability to see and understand one another as God sees us and understands us. Because if we truly saw and understood each other the way God sees us, He understands why we react the way we do to certain things. He understands our personalities. He understands our strengths and our weaknesses. It would help us a great deal. We might be a little more patient and a little more kind with each other. I also remember the title of the one teaching from Alice, and I don't remember the exact title, but it had something to do with the power of a church is measured by its prayer. I don't remember the exact title, but I remember the message. Prayer is foundational in each individual and the body as a whole. I want to read just once more in Matthew, that 11th chapter, where we began. In Matthew, that 11th chapter, going back and rereading verses 28 through 30. Matthew 11, where we began, verses 28 and 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Remember that each one of us has made a choice to take his yoke upon us. We're each working side by side with Jesus, learning as we go, struggling sometimes to learn how to deal with the burdens we each carry. But to be truly yoked up with Jesus, you must have that spirit inside. And that really is as simple what is the Apostle Peter taught us in that second chapter of Acts. Turn briefly to Acts, the second chapter. And I'm going to read just verse 38 to start with. To be yoked together with Jesus, being able to have him be the very center of our lives, to have him being the one leading and teaching us, it takes having his spirit inside. In Acts, the second chapter, verse 38, Peter is talking to a very large group of people here. And they ask what they need to do. And he tells them very simply, you need to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That repentance, that is turning away from sin and your former life. To be baptized in Jesus' name for the removal of those sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Go back up to the first verse in Acts, the second chapter, verses 1 through 4. These verses tell us of the first outpouring of the Holy Ghost. In Acts, the second chapter, verses 1 through 4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Pentecost was a Jewish feast day. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. These verses tell us of the first outpouring of the Holy Ghost. They describe the power of God coming inside individuals. These scriptures compare the power of God to a rushing mighty wind. And God is often like a wind. We can't see God, but we can feel God. We can feel His Spirit. We can feel it in the songs that we sing. We can feel it in the times that we get down to talk to Him one-on-one. We can feel His Spirit when we are with others that have His Spirit. And the wind is such a good description of God's Spirit. We can't see the wind. We can't really see it at all, but we can see what the wind touches. We can see what the wind moves. We can see the after effects of the wind. And they compare them to a fire. That fire that was like, it said it was like cloven tongues of fire. It was like fire moved through this room. There was power that came with that Spirit of God as it came and came inside these individuals who had been praying and seeking this Holy Ghost, because Jesus had told them, go back to Jerusalem and wait for the power which I have promised. And they went to that upper room. There was 120 of them. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was one of them, and that list everybody who was there that received that powerful, powerful infilling of the Spirit. In verse 4, it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That is an outward sign of the indwelling Holy Ghost. You will speak with other tongues as the Spirit gives utterance. It's not anything that you're taught or anything that you do of your own power. It is that power of God taking control of the most unruly member of our body, our tongue. Our tongue gets us in more problems than anything else. The scriptures tell us that it's the most unruly member of our body. And when you receive that Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues, it shows God is in complete control of your life. And you can begin a brand new life full of peace and love and joy and power. Power to deal with whatever it is that you need to deal with. Power to carry those burdens that life brings upon us, because we all have them. But once we have that Holy Ghost inside, then we are truly yoked up to our Jesus. And we walk in this life now yoked up with this helper that can help us through absolutely everything in our life. And when we make that decision to do that, we have a life that is full of His peace and His love and His joy. The Bible teaches us that the peace that we gain from God is like no other peace. It's with us every part of our life, through the ups, the downs, the ins, the outs, the goods and the bad. It's not dependent on anything. That peace of God is available to us at all times. And it's the most wonderful life you'll have, that life yoked up to our Jesus. Thank you.